Well, let's turn, if we could, this morning to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and read some verses that I think we would all say are precious to us, that we want to enter into in our lives. And in Romans 8, verses 35 through 37, it says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter." Now those aren't the verses that we want to enter into necessarily, but in verse 37, it says, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." More than conquerors. And I just wanted to look with that thought. I mean, we all, in one sense, we desire to conquer, to be conquerors in our lives, in our, you know, we face battles and enemies and situations. And you could say, well, if you're a conqueror, then you're doing all right. But Paul takes it a step further, you know, because he's saying God has called us not just to be conquerors, but to be more than conquerors. There's an additional aspect that goes beyond conquering something that I want to just look at with you this morning. Maybe we can get a little insight into it and the Lord can speak to us. But I want to look at it through another verse that Paul shared. And this verse is in 2 Corinthians 2 in verse 14. And it's a similar thought, you know, that in before he said in all these things and all the situations we face and the difficulties. And thankfully, I think we could look at that list in Romans 8 and say we haven't gone through all of that, right? We haven't at least faced the sword or famine, you know, or there's some things that the Lord has not called us to go through. But whatever we face, he's saying, yeah, but in all the things we face, we are more than conquerors. But in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, there's a similar concept that he mentions. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, "Now thanks be to God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place." Now this is a really neat verse. You think he always causes us to triumph in Christ. Now the Greek in this, I was teaching this in the Spanish, and I was getting ready to explain that. Because this translation in the English, at least in the King James, doesn't give a full explanation. Really, what this phrase means is he always leads us into triumph. It's as you get a picture as if we're on a pathway, and if we follow him, the end of that pathway or what is going to be down the pathway is triumph. And so he's always leading us on the pathway to triumph. Now, sometimes you can read this and say, well, he always causes us to triumph. That means we're supposed to always be in triumph. That's not quite the picture. It's the idea that if we follow him, the end or down our path is going to be triumph. It's going to be victory. You know, of course, on the way to victory, there's weakness and defeat and that we feel like anyway. But yet, if we follow God, if we place our feet where he is walking and we're following him, then we will always come to victory. Of course, the challenging thing where we don't always enter into this is when we don't follow him. And that's really the key, is when we follow him, we follow his ways, then we will always enter into triumph. But when we're off in some way, maybe we're not hearing his voice or not quite following in his footsteps, they're out of sync a little bit, that's when we become, instead of more than conquerors, we become less than conquerors, right? We can get into defeat and not even, you know, conquer. But we've called to be conquerors and more than conquerors, that we're always being led into victory. And I just wanted to consider three aspects, and looking at it from this verse in 2 Corinthians, three things that can help us to be more than conquerors, things that we can see maybe some things in this verse. Of course, there's more than just these three, but I was just looking at this verse and thinking how this is a good picture of how God wants to make us more than conquerors. And now the first thing we can see in 2 Corinthians 2:14 is the idea that we've mentioned of following. You know, that the key to being more than a conqueror is that we're always closely following the Lord. You know, that he said, follow me and walk in this direction, and we just stick close to him. You know, there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother, but I think it goes both ways, right? We have to stick close to him, and he sticks close to us. And, you know, maybe you've been in charge of little ones at some point, and you're telling them, maybe you're crossing the road, and you say, stick close, you know, don't, everyone hold hands or something, but then you look around and they're not sticking close, right? They're looking at something else. My parents always said I was easily distracted as a child, and I could go off and do something. In fact, one time we were in an airport and I didn't stick close and I got lost. And I need to ask my parents which one. I think it was Tokyo or something. And so there I am in the Tokyo airport, lost and separated from my parents, and they got really worried. But it was because I didn't follow them and I didn't stay close. And so there was a separation there. And so we want to develop that spirit that follows the Lord so closely. In fact, that's really an aspect of the kingdom of God that he wants us to be. He wants us to enter into, because just like, you know, a child, you would say, follow close, and they would stick close to you, grab your hand or grab your shirt or something and just kind of hold on. But that's an attitude, an aspect that the Lord wants us to be, that childlike faith, that childlike closeness to the Lord. And it says in Matthew 18 and verse 4, it says, whoever shall humble himself as a little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You know, so if we will take on some of these characteristics, the qualities of a child, and let me say that the context here is an obedient child, right? Sometimes you can look at a disobedient child, and that's not what we're looking at. You don't want to be like me in the airport getting lost. But, you know, there's certain childlike aspects that we must have in the kingdom of God, you know, because if a parent says, come, the child comes. The child follows. You know, it sticks close because the parents say so. And, you know, the child doesn't have to understand, right? Our parents didn't always explain why they were telling us to do things. And it would be upsetting if we would ask all the time, why, you know? But the Lord is the same way. He'll tell us to do something and we say, why, Lord? And we sometimes don't get a reply. Rarely do we get a reply, because he's just telling us, follow me. You know, we don't want that to let us stop us from following him, having to understand, but we need that childlike aspect of, okay, Lord, I'll follow you. I'll go where you want me to go. Because when we follow him, we will always be led to victory. But when we question him and we say why, and we say, well, Lord, I'm not going to go until I understand, you know, or till I can see how this is going to work in my life, or, you know, maybe I want to do something different, you know, and we struggle, that's when we can be less than a conqueror and not follow him into victory. And so that concept, we have to have that childlike belief, that childlike willingness to follow him where he says to follow. Then we'll enter into victory. Now the next thing, it kind of goes along, because sometimes we can be in a situation and we say, okay, I followed the Lord in that. You know, that should be good. I should enter into victory. It should be okay now. But there's also the aspect of always continuing to do that. That there's a continuing that has to take place in our lives of always following him. You know, because it says, back in that verse in 2 Corinthians 2:14, it says, thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph. Right? If he's always causing us to triumph, that means that we must always be following him. You know, that he's leading us, and that idea that we go from, you know, the scripture speaks of how we can go from strength to strength and faith to faith and victory to victory. You know, that there has to be that continual following him. And that leads us beyond just being a conqueror, but to being more than a conqueror. And I just want to consider this idea of being more than a conqueror through the illustration of boxing. And, you know, if someone is a boxer, they can have a reputation of being a fighter, you know, someone who wins battles. You know, maybe there's someone who wins some, but he loses some. You know, he doesn't win all of them. And so he can be a good fighter, a good boxer. But then you can have someone who wins all his fights. He's undefeated, right? It's like being at a different level when someone is undefeated. And in the sense of, and really in our lives, it's in the sense of defeating all of our enemies as the Lord leads us to them. You know, obviously, we're always going to be working on our character and dealing with things in our hearts until heaven. But yet, as the Lord leads us, he wants to bring us from victory to victory, not to allow any enemy to remain in our lives, causing us trouble, being able to influence us or turn us aside, you know, not letting any enemy have power over our lives. And maybe some examples could be pride or anger or fear or doubt or unbelief. You know, the Lord wants to remove these enemies. And sometimes the greatest enemy is within our hearts. You know, he wants to bring us into victory in those areas of our hearts. And we can consider Israel. You know, for hundreds of years they dwelt in the land, but they dwelt with other nations. You know, they dwelt with all the Ites, the Jebusites and Hittites and Amorites. Yeah, all the Ites, Girgashites and all those different Ites, and then the Philistines, and you know, all the ones that dwelt with them. You know, they basically had to share. You see the map of Israel, and oh, this was the map of their inheritance, but it doesn't show all the enemies that live with them. You know, and they just kind of dealt with them, and sometimes the enemy got strong and overcame them and put them under tribute. And then they'd cry out to the Lord, and the Lord would have mercy, and they'd raise up a judge that would help defeat them a little bit and get them out from under the tribute. But then a cycle came where they turned from the Lord, and they would be under their enemies. You know, and so that they were dwelling with their enemies until a man named David rose up and he became king and he started to fight. And, you know, he was led by the Lord in each battle. You know, sometimes the Lord led him to fight the enemy head on. Other times he had to wait and come from another direction, do it another way. But he did not stop until he defeated their enemies and he put them under tribute. You know, he put them under the power, you could say, of the Lord, because the Lord helped him to defeat all his enemies. And so Israel had been dwelling with their enemy in the past. They just learned to live with it. But that's not God's plan. God's plan was to defeat the enemies and put them under the power of God. And so David brought Israel into rest. And that was his philosophy. He wasn't content like all of the Israelites of old to dwell with the enemy. He wasn't satisfied with the enemy having any power or having a free reign in the land of Israel. And we see this in Psalm 18 and verse 37. Psalm 18 and verse 37, where David said, "I've pursued mine enemies, I've overtaken them, neither did I turn again until they were consumed, until they were destroyed." And so he was relentless in pursuing his enemies in Psalm 18 and verse 37. As he defeated his natural enemies, you know, God wants us to be relentless in defeating the spiritual enemies, whether that's Satan or, you know, an enemy that's blocking us. You know, we can defeat them through prayer and crying out to the Lord. Or sometimes, even more importantly, it's something within our heart, something that the Lord is not content that we dwell with those things. And an example might be, You know, someone could look at their family tree and say, my grandfather, he was an angry man. And my father, he was angry too, and I struggle with anger. And so I guess that's just how it is. You know, I guess my wife's just going to have to deal with that. All right, but God wants to remove the curse of sin and wipe it out from our lives so we don't pass those things on to another generation or to other people, you could say, who we influence. You know, we want to have that holy discontentment like David had, that he wasn't content until he destroyed the power of the enemy over his people. You know, and God wants to lead us from strength to strength and from victory to victory until the power of the enemy is broken in our lives. And you could say that they're under the power of the cross. They're not totally dead. I don't think those things will ever die. You know, because if we can have victory, but then they can come back to life if we let them. But if we put them on the cross where Jesus is, he's carrying them for us, and they have no power over us. You know, as we die to ourselves daily and follow the crucified life, he wants to lead us from victory to victory. But then there's one last thing that I want to see through this verse, and I'm going to read it from a different translation. This is 2 Corinthians 2:14. I'm going to read this from the International Standard Version. And it translates it this way. It says, thanks be to God, he always leads us triumphantly in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of knowing him. He spreads the fragrance of knowing him. You know, it's the idea that the Lord, he leads us to victory. He removes something from us, from our hearts, those qualities that we mentioned, you know, but he replaces it with something else. And in the Greek, it's the thought of a beautiful aroma or fragrance. You know, he wants to remove the smelly qualities from our life. Maybe in the spirit, there's a smell to some of those things if they're found in our heart. But then he replaces it and puts something that smells so beautiful, you know, a wonderful aroma that is beautiful to behold when his qualities are deposited. So there's a replacement that has to take place. He wants to replace, you know, he doesn't just want to take something out of our lives and leave us empty, because it will surely come back. Instead, he wants to take it out and replace it with something good. And you know, this verse gives idea of a fragrance, of a beautiful smell that can come from that. Now, my wife and I have worked with young people for many years as a youth pastor, and we run youth camps, and we've noticed something that can often happen with young men, especially when you get to camp and you get into the bunk room. It doesn't always smell that good, especially by the end of camp. You know, they usually bring a lot of cheap cologne. You know, something I'll always smell at the end is that Axe cologne, you know, because, they don't always take the time to shower or different things. And, you know, they get to an age where they need to shower, but they're not used to it. And they're discovering that they need to. In fact, one mother was sharing how her son was at an age where he wasn't used to showering every day, but now he needed to. And when you're around him, there was an aroma if he didn't shower, you know. But that can be true in the spiritual realm, right? Because we know that God, when we're brought into the kingdom of God, we don't come in as the same people that we are. You know, it says we're born again. And so we're born as little children, but then we grow up as young men, and our goal is, or young women, and our goal is to be fathers and mothers in Christ. But yet there's that time, you could say, when the Lord starts to reveal things in our lives, and there's a need for cleansing. There's a need for God to deal with us. And, you know, it can be that a similar experience or a similar thing in the spirit, is that there's something that is causing an unpleasant aroma, some quality in our nature. And God wants to remove that. You know, the things the Lord must smell, that are not pleasant. He wants to change that. You know, and a part of growing up is the Lord dealing with areas in our heart in His time. You know, removing the characteristics of our old nature and replacing them with the fragrance of who He is. And someone once shared how they knew this man of God who was so godly and had such a beautiful walk with the Lord. But yet they had an experience where this person entered a room. You know, I think it was a prayer meeting or something, and this man entered the room, and they said when he entered, there was a beautiful fragrance that they could smell. But they realized it was divine. It was more than beautiful than any natural fragrance they'd ever smelled, but it was heavenly. And this was the work that God had done in this man's life. You know, God had deposited aspects of Himself, of His character, and He had allowed others to literally experience what those qualities smell like in heaven. And perhaps, you know, those who are godly, those who have allowed the Lord to work in their lives, will have this same aroma that will be so beautiful to behold in heaven. You know, but that comes as the Lord, as we allow the Lord to put those qualities in our lives. And so there's that replacement. The Lord wants to come in. He wants to remove who we are and replace it with who He is. You know, so that people can see us. And isn't that so wonderful when God can do a work and it's pleasant to behold in the eyes of other people? Maybe they don't smell it in the natural, but yet they know it. They can experience it because God's done something. You know, maybe the Lord has taken our anger and He's turned it into gentleness, or our frustrations has been turned. Our frustration has been turned into patience. Maybe we've dealt with fear and God's turned it into courage, or our doubting, God's turned it into faith. And when people see those things in our lives, it's something beautiful to behold because of what God has done. And that comes as we know Him and we become like Him. And so the Lord wants to do that. He wants to make us not just a conqueror in a few areas, but He wants to make us more than conquerors. You know, it's good when we can cease from sinning in an area. Oh, but God wants to do so much more than that. He wants to lead us from strength to strength, from faith to faith, from victory to victory, so that there's a transformation. You know, that like the psalmist said, oh, I will have such joy when I behold Him in heaven because I will be like Him. You know, that's what the Lord desires. He desires us to be like Him because we'll see Him as He is and we'll be like Him. I think that's the greatest joy that we can experience in heaven, is when we realize we've become like heaven and we've developed the things in our lives that heaven is looking for. You know, we've become more than conquerors. And so, you know, we can just consider this little verse in 2 Corinthians, you know, that as we follow Him, and as we continue day by day to follow Him, the result is that He will always lead us into victory. He will always cause us to triumph as we follow Him. And as we allow Him to work deeply in our hearts, you know, we can begin to spread a fragrance. You know, in one sense, we are going to spread a fragrance wherever we go. The question is, what is it going to smell like? We never have that desire to smell bad, right? But in the Spirit, we want to know that aroma is good because it's the fragrance that comes from knowing Him and becoming like Him. And so, you know, let's ask the Lord to do that, that we could become more than conquerors through Him that loves us, and He could put those qualities in our lives. And Father, we just thank You for that, Lord. We ask, Lord, that You would do a fresh work in our hearts. God, that You would meet with us in a fresh way. Lord, we want to enter into that place of being more than a conqueror. Oh God, would You, Lord, give us that childlike faith and that heart that would follow You and respond to You and yield to You in those areas. God, that you could come and get and lead us from victory to victory and strength to strength. And Lord, would you even bring that replacement? Oh God, replace these things. Show us these things in our hearts that you desire to change so that we could become more like you. Oh, visit us in a fresh way. We ask, oh God, that we could spread that beautiful fragrance of who you are, Lord, to your people and to the world, we ask. And we thank you, and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.